You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
It's your good friend Patrick O'Dowd, joined by his good buddy David Ungar, and we are here welcoming you into another edition of Hockey Talk. Hockey Talk is, of course, part of the ChairShot Radio Network here on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
We are back after a week off. Dave, thank you for allowing me to attend my son's belated birthday party.
From what I understand, you were ordered to by your better half.
I mean, so here's the story. You're going to hear this story twice, I'm sure, because for those of you who have listened long enough to know, you know that Dave and I kind of do a block of recording together as we record a pair of shows for the Chair Shot Radio Network. And so Dave basically gets to hear all about my life twice because I talk about it on the show frequently. So the little O'Dowd, his birthday was a month ago. He turned 12 last year before he's a teen. And like the birthday comes and goes. It's a good birthday. He gets the gifts. He's happy with what he's got. But shortly before his birthday, he gets an invitation from one of his little buddies at school, one of his best friends. He too has a birthday a couple weeks later in February. He gets this invitation. He looks at his mother. When's my birthday party? ? And instead of answering the question, well, we didn't plan one this year because you didn't ask about one. We didn't think we were going to need to do it. We then went scramble mode and booked a birthday party for last weekend at the old bowling alley. It was an exclusive event, you know, VIP only. And good times were had by all, but man alive, was it an unnecessary venture? And that, my friends, is why you all didn't get a trade deadline preview episode of Hockey Talk. What you are going to get is our trade deadline reaction show, as it was a very, very busy trading week in the NHL. Tons of big moves, lots of names that shifted, some even a little bit unexpected. Some names that we didn't really see happening. It was just, it was crazy, crazy busy. And Dave, you know, kudos to you, man. You were on top of it. Like, you were keeping me updated on all of the happenings, all of the goings-ons.
I think
up
until Friday when the deadline actually hit and I just gave up because they just were too many.
Right.
But I don't know. I'm kind of glad we didn't do a preview because I don't think we would have been able to foresee some of what went down. And like you said, it was very busy, and there's a A lot of teams really kind of bolstered themselves, and then some that should have kind of,
Yeah, we're going to get into that. You know, we can do, you know, everybody and their brother around a trade deadline does like a winners and losers sort of thing. And I don't know that we necessarily need to do that, or if we just, you know, talk about kind of what were the big things that happened and who are we a little worried about coming out of this? I'll be blunt. Nothing says throwing a white flag up on your season, in my opinion, than making zero moves at the trade deadline when you are in the hunt for a wild card spot, like my St. Louis Blues did. My St. Louis Blues, I don't know if it's just that Doug Armstrong has been talking to John Mozeliak over at the St. Louis Cardinal organization and has decided to bow to the wisdom of, they'll show up anyway. We don't give a shit if we're a contender. Like, that seems to be the thing. And so I'm a little frustrated there, but yeah, I don't like that's kind of the play for the at least the first half of the show is to kind of look at some teams that made some moves and talk about some teams that didn't. Some teams that were up at the top of the standings that didn't make moves that surprised me. And once we get through the trade deadline talk, we'll do a little quick once around the league. There's been a little bit of some shuffling, especially over in the East. Boston is no longer the top dog over in the East, you know, by a point, but still they're not there anymore.
They've been kind of, the teams we're talking about have been ping ponging that back and forth a little bit, but
yeah, it's just kind of where it is, but you know, we'll get to that, but let's start with the trade deadline and kind of the biggest news or teams that made pickups. I know both of us, we talked about this just before we went on air. Everybody and their brother does like a biggest winners and losers sort of article that covers the NHL. And so I'm sure that we'll use those as kind of our guides. But what's crazy, I'm gonna start with the one that surprised me the most, and that was Vegas getting Hurdle, Tomas Hurdle from San Jose, like right at the trade deadline wire.
Can I read you this from this ESPN Plus thing? Because this really sums up Vegas.
Sure.
Okay. So ESPN Plus is, they're calling Vegas a winner at the trade deadline. And like you're saying, everybody and their mother's got their, but this actually sums up Vegas better than probably the two of us can encapsulate. A top six forward, a top nine forward, and a top pairing defenseman. Getting one of those three would be a victory at the deadline. Landing two of them would be even better. Yet the Golden Knights got all three because they got Mantha from the Caps, they got Hanifin, and they got Tomas Hurdle in a series of moves that sets them up to win a consecutive title. And they kind of like under the radar move Mark Stone to long-term injured reserve to free up some other stuff. So yeah, like the Sharks didn't get much for a team that is as bad as San Jose and rebuilding. They didn't get much back from Vegas for this deal.
No, they really didn't. And when you're, this is true in just about any professional sport. When you're rebuilding, what's gold, Dave, as a team? What do you really want to get as a team as you're trading assets off?
You want draft picks and prospects. That's what you want,
draft
for.
Picks and prospects. And let's just go through. What did we get? What did our good friends at San Jose actually get? Not now, CBS. They got Hurdle and a pair of third round picks from San Jose. The Sharks retained 17% of Hurdle's salary while also sending those third round picks for the 2025 and 2027 third round picks. In return, they did receive a 2025 first round pick and center David Edstrom.
And a pair of third round draft choices. And the Sharks retained 17% of Hurdle's salary.
Right. Like, this reminds me of when the St. Louis Cardinals got Nolan Arenado from the Colorado Rockies and somehow got Colorado to continue to pay for Nolan Arenado for like part of a season. Like, what? And Arenado's got 6 years left on his contract. So, later on, this is going to, you know, and it's $6.75 million per season. So that'll impact Vegas in the future, but Vegas is in win now mode. So you think about that, you know, in the offseason. You're like, you don't care about that right now. Right now, you just care about
And the Sharks did another weird move. They got Vitek Vanacek from the Devils.
Yeah.
And for like nothing and absorb most of it. He's going to be like a UFA in a year in this offseason. And New Jersey, you didn't do shit at the trade deadline either. You know, if we're calling a spade a spade, they just kind of like, here's this cash dump of our salary cap. Oh, you guys want him? Oh, and we're just going to swap goalies. Okay. So yeah, the Sharks are one of those teams like, you know, draft picks and prospects. You got a couple draft picks, but really you absorbed cap hits that you didn't need. You retain hurdle salary to a certain extent over the next few years. But yeah, going back to Vegas, that's it's a great move on their part. And they're going to be, you know, and Vegas has not been that good lately. I mean, early in the year, they were on fire, but lately they've just been kind of floundering. They're like in the wild card spot or something.
Yeah, it's you're making changes to boost yourself, right? And now's the time to do it. Now's the time to make a push. And here's the thing. At least you made decisions. Again, like I was sitting there, I was looking at the standings because I know we're going to talk about the standings. And I'm looking at the wild card, right? All right. So Vegas with its 75 points, you know, they're fine. They're where they are. There are four teams in the wild card hunt right now sitting at 67 points. Calgary, Seattle, St. Louis, and Minnesota. None of those teams were listed. None of those four teams that I just read off were listed as people who are quote unquote winners at the trade deadline. Like, unless your ESPN article has somebody different. Does ESPN have somebody out of that group?
No, I think they actually call Calgary a loser. Let me double
check. Even worse.
Yeah, they call Calgary a loser.
Like, it's the spot nobody wants right now. And I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm turning this into a St. Louis Blues whining podcast here. You're in there. You're in competition. You can't score. This is the same problem that the St. Louis Blues had last year. They can't score, Dave. They can't.
So
they don't.
Calgary, they did the Noah Hanifin trade, which we just talked about for Vegas.
Right.
And he was the best defenseman available. They retained 50% of his salary. But they did pull a 2026 first rounder, a potential 2025 second rounder, and minor league defenseman Daniil Miramanov, who is 1 year younger than the guy they just traded away. So, I mean, maybe the return on that wasn't great. But then they also got, they traded Chris Tanev to the Dallas Stars. And there's, you know, a team right in the hunt for things that's going to help them out. But, you know, Dallas was a little bit quiet, but that's still a pretty shrewd little pickup for the Stars.
Yeah, not at all. Pretty good. Team that wasn't quiet, Colorado. Colorado went around. You know, Joe Sakic, you got to give him some credit as a GM. It's always amazing to me, the people who make really good GMs are the ones who you think would make good GMs. And Joe Sakic, he was always a smart guy on the ice. So it doesn't really surprise me that he's a smart guy in the front office. But, you know, they got rid of Bowen Byram. And picked up Casey Mittelstadt as a replacement. They're looking at him as possibly a long-term player too, like that they're going to try and keep him for a while. They got rid of Ryan Johnson's contract, added Sean Walker from the Flyers. Their forward depth got better. They added a couple of guys to just sort of add some depth to their overall roster. Yakov Trenin and Brandon Duhaime. Like, you know, they're not going to set the world on fire, but they shored themselves up. They put themselves in a place to make a really good run and do some damage again, because Colorado's got a nucleus. Mm-hmm. They've got their stars. They don't need more stars. They just need depth. And that's what they did.
Yeah. Colorado looks like they're poised to really make a run at the cup. They've got all the pieces in place. I think going in, you were looking at, okay, they need a second line center. Okay, check that box. You know, they had some concerns about what are they going to do with Byram. They took care of that as well. For Colorado, they got what they needed. They're one of the teams, I think, like the team that I look at that out in my neck of the woods on the east is Carolina. Love the moves that Carolina did. Getting Gensel from the Pens was really smart.
Big win.
And then
that was the biggest commodity. That was who everybody was trying to get.
Yeah. And then they get Evgeny Kuznetsov from the Caps, which is very bittersweet for me for obvious reasons, because he was the guy who scored the goal that finally eliminated Pittsburgh. But you know, taking that fandom out of the equation, he's a guy who needed a change of scenery. If he can return to form, he's the kind of guy who can lead Carolina on a really deep run in the East. And let's be honest, Carolina's disappointed the past few years. Like, they get to a point and then they just fall, like last year, getting swept by Florida, right, that sort of thing. So I think those are, you know, you got Gensel and Kuznetsov. They're both Stanley Cup champions with lots and lots of playoff experience. If they have anything left in the tank, it's a great pickup for Carolina, and they should really challenge for the cup this year. I know Florida's going to be great. I know Boston's going to be great. You got to put Carolina and the Rangers, of course.
Right, but the Rangers, you know, again, another team that didn't really do anything. Florida, by the way, picking up my boy Vladimir Tarasenko.
Yep.
Which I gotta say, like, I hate that Vladimir Tarasenko has become like the journeyman piece that gets moved around. Like I loved him so much as a Blue. I wish he could have been a Blue until he bloody well died. You know, I hate that relationship went sour. He's not who he was in St. Louis, right? But he's still dangerous. And that's what I like. When he went to the Rangers, I thought he was a great move to go, you know, for the Rangers. And he's a good move for Florida. He's not going to be asked to be the guy. Like, he's not going to be asked to be the star. You know, he's going to be right next to Alexander Barkov. So, like, with like, okay.
Florida and the Rangers, they're those
they
teams.
Also got they also got Kala Okposo.
Who Florida did?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That Davis guy. And I mean, you know, that Kyle, to his credit, he really wanted to make Buffalo into a winner. And it just never, you know, a lot of things. The Jack Eichel situation didn't help for sure. But he really wanted to make Buffalo competitive. And they're just not. And so I think moving him to a contender like the Florida Panthers, who are going to be very difficult. You thought they were a bitch to get rid of last year. They're going to be really, really difficult to get rid of this year. So I love that trade. I think that was a really good move. Like, yeah, like you said, the Rangers, they didn't do anything, but I think like the Rangers mentality right now is like, you know, we've got good chemistry. Everything's going okay. Yeah. There's stuff out there, but we're okay with where they are. So the Rangers weren't the team that kind of bugged me by not doing anything. It was more Detroit, I think, was the team that I look at and say, you guys didn't do shit.
Yeah. Well, it's funny as the winners and losers article, like, yeah, Detroit, which again, the team, I firmly believe hockey is better overall if Detroit is in the playoff. They're like Detroit hockey mattering. And maybe that's just the Midwest. I hated the Red Wings for so long biased, but man, I feel like hockey is better with Detroit in there. It's funny. My CBS article that I have up of winners and losers, they call the Bruins a loser. Because they didn't really do anything. They picked up, you know, Pat Maroon, who, why? Like, they're like, why? Like, he's won three cups, but whatever. And then who else did they get? Like, a defenseman, Andrew Peak from Columbus. Like, didn't really do anything. Here's the thing. I hate calling a team a loser when they're second in their league and don't really need to make a move. Like, you don't have to make a move to make a move. And that's what I think the Bruins did, right? Like, they didn't have to do anything.
Right.
So why call them a loser? Why call the loser the trade deadline?
I don't buy that.
Because what they...
I mean, it's still pretty much the same team that set a points record last year. And okay, so they're not lighting the world on fire at the same clip this year. I think, you know, that's to be expected, that sort of thing. You know, I look at nobody talks about the Caps. I mean, like, winners, losers are just, they're just not even mentioned sort of thing. But
there's reasons there.
But I think they had a good trade deadline. I think they got rid of some of the people. They were in selling mode, but they got rid of some of the people. They got some draft picks. But then along the way, they've just started winning. And they're like 7-2-1 right in their last 10. The young guys have come to play. Alex Ovechkin is getting more opportunities. He's scoring more. And I'm like, looking at the standings, I'm like, holy shit, they're only 3 points out of the playoff spot. You know, Carberry's done a good job. So I'm like, well, they'll get some draft picks back. They'll get some prospects. That's good for a team that's not in a full rebuild mode. And, you know, Mantha was one of those guys that you looked at and said, yeah, you know, he might do better elsewhere sort of situation. And Kuznetsov as well. And him and Ovechkin had a bit of a strained relationship. So I like the moves the Caps did, and I'm surprised to look at the standings and say, okay, I did not think they were anywhere. Because, like, you and I, what was that game? Detroit beat them 8-3 a couple weeks ago, and you and I messaged each other and said, well, that's right. It. And
here they are. Well, okay, so we're starting to get into standings talk a little bit. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to put a cap on this. We're going to put a bow on this for a second. We're going to move into our first and only commercial break. When we come back, let's actually take a look at who's hot and who's not, because – while your team's on the upswing, mine's in a bit of a spiral, and I got to bitch about that even more than I did when I talked about how they didn't do anything on the trade deadline. So stick around for that, everybody. We'll be right back. You are listening to Hockey Talk here on the ChairShot Radio Network, a part of thechairshot.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
All right. Welcome back, everyone, to Hockey Talk. Patrick O'Dowd, David Ungar here on the ChairShot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. Make sure you head over to prowrestlingtees.com/chairshot and invest in one of our dope pieces of chair shot swag. Only $19.99. Spend a few dollars more. Get it soft style. Your giblets will thank you. Dave, standings talk time. You talked about your Caps getting hot. Let me tell you the sad state of affairs in St. Louis. I'm tired. I'm officially tired. You know why I'm tired? Because every post-game press conference is the same. Sorry, it doesn't even have to be a press conference. It could just be an outside-the-locker scrum. Every one of these conversations is the same. It's some player or a coach standing in front of the reporters lamenting that we're just not getting enough scoring opportunities. We're not doing well scoring the puck. We need to be better. We need to be better. You know what? You're right. And do better. Stop talking about it. Just do, like, figure it out. Like, it's painful to watch them play hockey right now. It's so painful to watch my team play hockey. You know who I'd rather watch? The Nashville Predators, Vegas, Colorado. You know why? Because they fucking score. Florida, Boston, all of them, they score. You know who doesn't score? My hockey team. And it's infuriating.
You know who else doesn't score? I mean, what the hell has happened to the Pittsburgh Penguins, man? I mean, Jesus. And I know that they went into full sell mode. And remember at the beginning of the year, they got Carlson and everybody's like talking, oh, the Pens returned to greatness. And I think I remember I was like a little skeptical about that because I'm like, they're still an aging core and Sid's had a tremendous year, but they're just getting draw. I mean, what, the Caps beat them 6-0 the other night? I mean, the day they trade Gensel away, they're already down 2-0 to Edmonton as we record this in like the first period. Something. The dynasty is way over in Pittsburgh. And I mean, geez, and you got to wonder about what is, Sid and Evgeny, they're not going anywhere, that sort of thing. But yeah, the Penguins are a team. I just did not see the bottom falling out as quickly as it has over there. But I was going to ask you, the team that kind of I'm slowly getting very curious and optimistic about are the Winnipeg Jets. What do you think of these guys? They made some decent moves at the deadline, you know, bolstered some things up, and they are right there in the standings. I mean, they always kind of are that middle tier team where, like, yeah, a little bit of puck luck here and there, and they could make a run. But
I mean, when they beat my Blues, they didn't look like they had puck luck. Oh, but that's because my team can't fucking score.
Oh, before we go on, I do want to congratulate the Chicago Blackhawks on being the first team officially eliminated.
Officially eliminated. I gotta go back and just burn some of my takes that I have. Like in one of my bad takes that I've had for the last 2 years. All the Blackhawks are only a year away. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Chicago. I've done this to you. It's my fault. I get too excited. I got so excited about Connor Bedard. I was was ready to see you go. Enjoy another number one draft pick this season.
Yeah, I mean he's the real deal. It's gonna.
Oh yeah, he's no joke.
It's gonna take. You know, Edmonton went through the same thing. You know, and I think Chicago. Right. Hopefully their trajectory is a little bit more. Not quite as up and down as Edmonton's. They're going to be good, but like you're saying, they're going to stockpile draft picks. Bedard is a generational talent sort of thing. So yeah, it's rough right now. The Caps thumped them last night, which was no big surprise, but I would have lost money to say that Chicago would have been the first team eliminated this season, but there you go.
Right. I thought they'd compete. I didn't, who knows? But back to your question about Winnipeg, I mean, they're no joke, dude. Like you can't have a plus 40 goal differential, be 21-8 at home. You're well above 500 on the road. That's a team that plays. That's a team that knows what they're doing. They're 7-3 in their last 10. They did just lose their last game, but yeah, I don't think it's a fluke thing that they are where they are now. Here's the magic question. You know, can they compete with the Edmontons, the Vancouvers, in the pecking order of Canadian hockey teams, the Toronto? I think they could. I think give Toronto a run if they ever ran into Toronto. You know, at the end of the playoffs. But you know, where would you put them in the pecking order of Canadian hope, the great Canadian hope for a Stanley Cup?
Out of the
because they're not okay. So let's look at who's where. So over. If we look in the Western, we'll do the Western Conference only too. So, yeah. In the Western Conference, you got Winnipeg, you got Edmonton, you got Vancouver. Those are the big three.
I'll put it this way: they've got the best goaltending. I think Hellebuck is the best goaltender out of those three teams. And
sure,
if we're going to go in that direction, and we've seen it so many times that hot goaltending will just stifle everything. Then you got to say, if we're going solely on that basis, then I think Winnipeg's got the best shot of all three of them. Edmonton's got...
You don't have Connor McDavid.
You don't. And Edmonton's clearly got the best offense. Vancouver's biggest advantage right now is they don't know they're not supposed to be this good. You know, that sort of thing. And they've gotten back on the winning track after kind of floundering a little bit, but they've won four in a row right now. Yep. Vancouver, like we were talking off the air about the Baltimore Orioles and a team that's too young and doesn't know that they're not supposed to be this good this quick. And Vancouver's kind of that team, like, and that makes them extraordinarily dangerous, because if they're like, well, we don't know we're not supposed to be winning, we're just going to win. Then you look at that. But I think of it from a goaltending standpoint, give me Winnipeg. If it comes down to a goaltending matchup, if it's an offensive shootout firepower, I think Edmonton's got by far the best shot, because there's too many stars. Shut down McDavid, right. Dreisaitl burns you. Shut him down, McDavid burns you. Edmonton's goaltending's okay, but I think from that standpoint, Winnipeg's really balanced.
With that kind of firepower on the offensive side, okay goaltending can get you a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at goal differential.
You know, it's all about matchups.
And I think Vancouver's goaltending is probably, I underrated that a little bit as well, because they've, I forget who their goalie is, but they've been excelling this year. So, you know, I mean, the best out of the four of them, if you're including Toronto in the mix, is probably the Maple Leafs. But you know, the other teams don't.
Right, but we know how that disappointment ends every season.
The other teams don't have the choke history that the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Are you worried about the Bruins?
Yes and no. I'll put it that that's real ambivalent, I mean, right?
It's a funny, yeah. That's a very definitive, strong podcasting answer.
Well, I think Boston can do. I think Boston gets by the first round this year. I don't know how well they will fare against Florida this season. And I go back to last season and what the Panthers pulled, and you know, there's just sometimes, and you know this as well as anybody. Sometimes teams, you know, they just don't, for some reason, they don't match up well against somebody else. Like one team, they'll just run off the ice, you know, but other teams, right, they don't match up well. And you saw that last year, that Florida had something that Boston couldn't figure out. And yes, I understand the Bruins had some goaltending issues last year, but I just feel like Florida is a much better team this year. They're more confident this year. They've played Boston very tough, even in the regular season. And I just kind of think, am I worried about Boston? No. Do I think they're going to have problems with Florida? Absolutely. Do I think Boston will have problems with the Rangers? Probably. But could they ignore all that and make a cup run? Sure. So that's why I said yes and no. Like certain teams, I don't have any worry about. Like the Bruins met the Caps for some reason in the playoffs. It's okay. But Florida, New York, Toronto. Yeah, I don't think Toronto can match up with Boston. I don't think Tampa Bay can match up with them. But
I mean, Toronto did just get it kind of handed to them this past week in Boston. So this past Friday. So.
As if the Bruins were saying, "Hey, let me remind you of who we are."
Right. I have zero faith in Tampa Bay. Like I hitched my wagon behind them the way I hitched my wagon behind the Detroit Red Wings, and we know how that works out. So
Tampa's,
yeah, whatevs, man.
Tampa's like they've earned all of our respect because of who they've been and the dynasty that they've been.
Yeah, they've been here so often.
But it's like at the same time, it's like, at some point a team can really age overnight in the playoffs. And I think Tampa's one of those teams that you could see that. Sorry, Tony. You could see that kind of happening in the playoffs, that sort of thing. But yeah, I think though, you know, I mean, and however the East turns out, I mean, you know, it looks like the six seeds are pretty well locked in. I say that, but Philly's no lock for anything.
Right.
You know, so however the wild cards turn out.
Well, so here's my last question for you and for the show today. So I want to go back to the West. I want to go back to those four wildcard teams I talked about. Of those teams, Calgary, Seattle, St. Louis, and Minnesota, as of this recording at 1:45 p.m. on March 10th, all four of those teams are sitting with 67 points and are tied. Calgary's at the top, but tied, quote unquote, for third in this wildcard hunt. Which of those four teams do you have the most faith in?
to get to the playoffs?
Yeah.
None.
To make the run. That
they're not. No. I mean, they can't.
I'm asking you to pick one. Okay. I'm asking you to pick one. One team that could make an 8-point run and can somehow catch Vegas.
In an ideal situation, if Vegas just completely implodes, probably Calgary, I think right now. I would go, well, let's see. Let's kind of hold on. I'm going to look at this again and kind of like analyze this a little bit more analytically. Let's see. All right. So St. Louis is a minus 20 goal differential.
They're terrible.
Minnesota's minus 12. Calgary's only minus one. Seattle's minus five. I mean, based solely on that, you know, you look at it and say, well, who's got the best defense matched up against the offense? You'd say, well, Calgary or Seattle. And this year, I think I'd probably take Calgary as just a little bit better balanced team, that sort of thing. But man, so many things would have to go right for any of those four would have to just go on an absolute tear. And then you got to look at Nashville and Vegas to really collapse. Vegas just did all this stuff to get better. They're not going to collapse. This is, you're the defending Stanley Cup champions. I would be as stunned as anybody if Vegas does not make the playoffs this year. Nashville maybe, but a lot of things would have to go wrong in Nashville for them to blow it as well. And they're a good team. Nashville's a solid team. They're not going to wow you with anything that they do, but they're just consistent and right there. So if I had, you know, you're putting me on the spot, I'd say Calgary. I want to say St. Louis, but I can't just because of the stuff you pointed out.
No, don't say St. Louis.
Because you're right. They can't score. And you know, and Minnesota's got the same problem. They can't score. Calgary and Seattle can score in spurts, that sort of thing, but it just, they're not consistent enough. And you see it in the standings, and Calgary did not make the moves that they should have made at the deadline. I give them the edge barely over Seattle right now. If you're telling me the realistic chances, what, 10% chance of that? I mean, that's a lot of ground to make up against the defending champs.
Saying there's a chance.
Yeah, against the defending champs.
Yeah. I don't see it either, but it is a fun little exercise to play just because, like I said, they're all just in that little quagmire of hope. So, all right, Dave.
Let me put you on the spot real quick here. So out in the East, it gets a little bit more interesting because it's much tighter out there where you've got the Islanders at 70, the Caps at 69, the Devils at 66. The Sabres at 65. Do any of those four teams have a shot at catching Detroit or Tampa?
If I were going to pick one, I'd pick the Islanders. And that may be biased just because I saw them this past, again.
Got them all choked up. I mean, you know, talking about the Islanders does that to people. Not to me, but, you know, I would rather see the Islanders burn in flames, but that's just me.
Would you like to see them burn in Calgary flames?
That would work. That would work for me. Yeah, I
think. Sorry. I think my metric for deciding if a team is good and legit, which is a terrible metric because my team sucks, is like, how do they look beating up on my St. Louis Blues? And they looked, I generally don't get to watch my Blues play hockey. I get Twitter updates. And it's just hilarious to just watch depressed St. Louis Blues Twitter go at it. And it's like, Islanders are up 1-0. And the end of first period, we got some work to do. Second period, Islanders get a crazy one. 2-0. Oh, they're up 3-0. Wait, no goal. Let's celebrate. Then all of a sudden it's like, now they're up 3-0. Well, now we suck.
I mean, you're,
we hit everything.
The Islanders have won 5 in a row. I think
they're playing really good hockey right now.
If the Caps could play Charlie Lindgren every game, I would give them a better shot.
Right.
Because that guy, he can play. I mean, and I was really glad they didn't deal him at the deadline because he's all that they, I mean, Kemper's been a major bust since he won the Cup. If Lindgren could play more, I'd say Charlie could get you there. But yeah, the Islanders are playing really well, even though they didn't do a whole lot either. But I tend to agree with you. I would be surprised if Detroit makes the playoffs right now. I think that the rose is off the bloom there, sort of thing. They've exceeded expectations, but they've really, I mean, like a couple weeks ago when we recorded it, I was like, oh yeah, they've got it. You know, Patrick Kane's on fire. They're blowing teams out. And since then, they've been middling 5-5 and a 5-game losing streak. So they're going in one direction, the Islanders going in the other. That's not good.
So yeah, if you're talking to me right now, team on the rise, team playing well, you're gonna err on that. But we still got a little bit of time left before the playoffs start. We're in March. We're in full on basketball. This is the best time of year.
20 games for these left winter for most of these teams.
Sports. Yeah, that's still a solid amount of time. And time is running out. That window is closing. But, those wild card teams can still make a run. And we'll be here to cover whatever happens when it happens, like every other week, because that seems to be what we do. Dave, before we get out of here, why don't you tell everybody where you can be found on the Chair Shot Radio Network and here in the social media sphere, if you will.
You can find me at the Candy Factory, also known as Twix, at Attitude Ag, that is at Attitude AGG. Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression and at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, on Instagram and Threads.
You can follow me on the X Twitter and on all your social media platforms at Wrestling Realist. That is at WrestlingRealist. I am doing shows half the damn week now on the Chair Shot Radio Network. You can listen to me talk hockey on Mondays, Tuesdays. You can listen to me talk nerd stuff on Mondays. I'm talking wrestling on Wednesdays with Greg DeMarco. I'm talking college basketball on Thursdays, except for when Illinois plays Purdue. And I'm like, Tony, I can't do the podcast because I'm going to watch Illinois play Purdue in what was a great game, but it was a very disappointing game.
All you're missing is really some baseball talk, man, and you'll have it all covered.
Yeah, I can't do that because right now I'm just so angry at my baseball team all the time because this is a proud franchise that is – shitting the bed left and right, and I hate it. But anyway, so you can find me just like almost every day of the week now on the Chair Shot Radio Network. So make sure you give us a listen. This is going to do it for Hockey Talk, though. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We will be back next week to talk about all the ins and outs of the NHL season while I am also simultaneously watching opening round, second round basketball in the NCAA tournament. This has been Hockey Talk here on the Chair Shot Radio Network, a part of thechairshot.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.